Now, as Martin Rees has just pointed out, one of the predictions Einstein made that hadn't yet been observed were the gravitational waves. And this is what the LIGO team found this month. Greer Jackson was there for the announcement.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have detected gravitational waves. We did it.
But how did they do it? They announced the results from the States, but there was a special meeting for us Brits in London, and this is where I met Norna Robertson, who's helped detect these elusive things.
The event that we saw was two black holes which were orbiting each other, and they're also moving towards each other because they're losing energy as they orbit each other, and so they speed up and go round and round faster and faster until they finally merge, and it's that final in-spiral and merger, which happens in a fraction of a second, that produce a big burst of gravitational waves.
And that's rippled across the universe to us. How long did it take to reach us, though?
The event happened something like 1 billion years ago, 1 billion light years away, and it's taken all that time to ripple across space towards us and pass through the Earth on September the 14th, 2015.
It's quite remarkable, really, isn't it?
It is remarkable. It's wonderful. There have been many, many people involved in developing detectors and developing all the analysis techniques. And for all of us, this is really a momentous occasion.
Alongside Norna, something like 1,000 scientists across 16 countries have been working together for 25 years. And like Norna, Sheila Rowan from Glasgow University has spent her whole career searching for them.
I wanted to be a scientist and wanted to be a physicist, I think, since I was about 9 years old. When I was young, I couldn't think of anything more exciting to do in life than spend it studying these big questions in the universe. When you go out and you look up, where did it all come from? What's out there? How far does it go? And I've been lucky enough that I've been able to spend my life working in this area and doing that.
Lucky enough to also see all her hard work come into fruition. But how did LIGO detect them?
When they're produced, of course, there's a huge amount of energy as two black holes collide. But then that's got to spread out and travel across the universe. So by the time it gets to us here on Earth, it's a tiny signal. And that means it's hard for us to build instruments that are sensitive enough to do that. And the way we do it is we take light from a laser. We split that laser light into two, and we send it out along 2 4-kilometre long paths. It hits mirrors at the ends of those paths. Those mirrors send the laser light back. The light then adds up again there. And whether it adds up so that you get a bright spot or whether it cancels itself out and you get a dark spot depends on how far the light has travelled on that 4 kilometre path. Now, what a gravitational wave does is it changes the lengths of the arms, the paths that the light has travelled. And fundamentally, it does that by shaking the mirrors that we've put down. The trouble is, it doesn't really shake them very much. It shakes those mirrors by about 1/10,000th of the size of a proton inside an atom.
So how would you ever measure that?
It's a big challenge, and that's one of the reasons it's taken decades of work to do this. And there are various things that are key. One incredibly important thing, of course, is to take those mirrors that the gravitational wave's going to shake and make sure that nothing else shakes them. So we couldn't just sit them on the ground, because the ground moves all the time. It shakes due to faraway earthquakes. It shakes just due to people driving cars past. So we can't do that. Instead, what we do is we take the mirrors and we actually hang them.
Now, this isn't like how you'd hang a mirror on the wall, no siree, because a gravitational wave passing through would move a mirror by less than the width of a proton. And all this other stuff that Sheila mentioned, seismic activity, cars even, would move the mirrors and could give us a false positive. So how do you make a motionless mirror, I hear you ask? One of the key things is what you hang the mirror with. LIGO have used ultra-high-tech glass or silica to hang it because silica molecules don't wobble around too much. You can think of this as kind of like the fanciest shock absorbers around. This makes the mirror almost motionless. The final key component is the fact that there are multiple devices that record the movement of the hundreds of components that all connect to the mirror. Knowing how much these various bits of machinery move, it means that with great precision, they can account for these tiny movements. Now that they've made these motionless mirrors and even detect one gravitational wave, when will they detect the next one?
We don't know the answer to that yet. We do have more data. We just haven't had time to look in there yet and see what's in there. So we don't know. You'll have to wait to hear back from us, but we promise we're looking hard.
Watch this space then.
Or as my colleague in Glasgow often says, watch this space time.
It's going to become my new catchphrase. Sheila Rowan from Glasgow University, and before her from Caltech and the University of Glasgow, Norna Robertson.